appreciate each one of you. A lot of new faces this year, and we're so glad to have you. And we do this every Wednesday, and any of you that God's given a special talent to that may be able to play or sing or help out somehow in the service, I'd love for you to get with me, and love to use our young people. And a lot of you do participate and sing and do different things, but I do want to get you involved and as much as we can. But it is good to see all of you this morning. But let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. This is probably probably is my favorite passage of Scripture in the Bible. There's several verses that stick out to me that I really love. But this is one passage probably that I've read more than any other passage of Scripture in my life. And often in my times of trouble and times of trials and tribulations and times when I don't feel well, times when I feel like no one loves me, times that I'm just struggling, to be honest with you, the Lord will take me here to this passage of Scripture. And I always gather comfort from this passage of Scripture, and I hope this morning that you can too. Maybe you walked in here this morning, and you know what? You're just down and out, and man, I tell you what, you just felt like you had to drag yourself in. I hope that you can leave just a little excited this morning, because there's a Savior in heaven that loves you. And maybe you come in this morning and you just feel like no one in the world loves you. Well, I hope you know this morning when you leave that there is someone that loves you. And you know what? I do all that I can for you. I will try my best to help you in any way possible, to be there for you, to mentor you. But you know what reality is? I'm just a man, and there's chances that I could let you down. But I want to tell you this morning about someone that will never let you down, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've went through in your life, no matter where you come from, you know what? He can help you. And he wants to this morning. And I want to preach a message. Y'all may have heard me preach it before, but I just couldn't get it off my heart. I had a couple different ones that I wanted to preach. But I woke up this morning knowing this is where the Lord wanted me to go. But John chapter 14, I want to read the six verses, and then we'll pray. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. God, we thank you for all your blessings, Lord. God, I thank you for just allowing me to stand another time here in this pulpit, Lord, and preach your word. Father, I pray you help me to say exactly what you want me to, nothing more, nothing less. Father, most of all, I pray for that one here this morning that may not know you as Lord and Savior, that you might save them. Lord, someone may have come in discouraged this morning. Father, I pray that you might encourage them, Lord. And God, whatever the need is this morning, Father, you know that need. And I pray, Father, that you might supply that need this morning. Help us, Lord, to serve you like we never have before. We'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 14, these six verses I've probably read and memorized more, or I have memorized them, but I've probably read more than any in the Bible. And here in this particular setting, let me just kind of give you some background. But Jesus here is talking to his disciples, and he's been foretelling and that, you know what, hey, I'm going away. There's coming a time, there's coming a day that I'm not going to be with you. And he was speaking of course, we know that later he was crucified and he died, and I'll get to that in a moment. But he was telling his disciples, listen, there's not to be troubled. He was concerned about them, and he was kind of comfort them in some way, because he knew that he was going to be crucified and betrayed and have to die on an old rugged cross. He was trying here to, as he was talking to his disciples, to just give them a little bit of comfort. And I hope this morning that you can find that comfort also. But number one, four things this morning, and we're finished. But number one, I want to talk this morning about a loving Savior. A loving Savior. Let me say this morning, that I've been saved 12 and a half years. And I got saved in at home. When the little church next door, the chapel was in the next door there. But I got saved at home one Sunday morning, 12 and a half years ago, and my life has not been the same since. Hey, I was a good person. I tried to do good. I really did. I thought that my good would outweigh my bad, and that was good enough, but it wasn't. But I met the Savior this one Sunday morning. And listen, my life has not been the same since. It has not. Now listen, that doesn't mean that I'm perfect, and I'm not. And of course, you hang around me enough, you'll know that I'm not. But you know what? I serve a perfect Savior this morning. And you know what? I felt love my whole life. I grew up in a family that loved me. I never knew nothing but love. That's all I've ever known is love and love and love. And I thank God for my family this morning. Let me say this. When I got saved, I really found out what true love was. And I'm talking about the love that our Savior has for His children this morning. But I want to talk about the loving Savior. Number one, in this passage of Scripture, in verse number one, I see a concern from our Savior. Let's look again in verse one. The Bible starts out here in verse one, "Let not your heart be troubled." And what he was telling his disciples here is he said, listen, I care for you. I have a concern for you. And he just wouldn't want to just go away, and all of a sudden they wonder where he was. He was trying to teach them as he did, but he was trying to warn them. But he was telling them, hey, I have a concern for you. And let me say this morning that I don't care who you are or what age you are. And I've already said it, where you come from, what you did last week. Listen, he's concerned about you this morning. He's concerned about everything that you do. He's concerned about every choice that you make. Hey, he's concerned about every thought that goes through your mind. He's concerned about what's in your heart this morning. He's concerned about who you hang around with. He's concerned about everything in your life this morning. You know what? Some may not be concerned at all about me this morning, or what I do, if I live or die, or if I'm happy or sad. There's a lot of people out there, you know what? They could care less. And truth be known, I could die today, and you know what? The world would keep going, and a lot of people wouldn't even care. But let me say this. I do know this morning that my Lord and Savior is concerned about me and that He cares about me. And what He was telling me here, He said, I care for you. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And I love that word casting, and I've often shared this with you, but it literally means to throw. To cast, as we were cast a football or a baseball, or we had something in my hand and I threw it, literally for me to get rid of it and give it to somebody else. That word casting, and here he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Basically, what this scripture means is, you know what, when anything, any feeling that we have at any time in our life, we're to cast it or give it or tell it or talk to our Lord about it. You know why? Because He's concerned about you this morning. Hey, He's concerned about everything. You know what? Every day, this morning you got up, you made choices already. You know what? Throughout the day, you're going to make choices. Tonight, you're going to make choices. Tomorrow, down the road, you're going to make choices. One day, you're going to grow up, you're going to have to make a choice who your spouse is going to be. You know what? You're going to make a choice one day if you want to have children or not. You're going to make choices your whole life. Where you're going to live? Where you're going to go to church? What you're going to do? Are you going to serve the Lord or not? Listen, the Lord is concerned about you this morning. And you know what? I can say this, that you know what? The younger we are, hey, I was saved 12 and a half years ago, and I thank God that He saved me 12 and a half years ago. But you know what? I don't know what it means to be saved as a 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, 11, 12-year-old. But you know what? Y'all had that opportunity to surrender your life to Christ this morning at a young age so that you can serve Him through those rough times, through those young ages. You know, I made a lot of mistakes in my teenage years. And you know what? But you have that chance, and that Holy Spirit lives within you if you're saved, and it helps you make right decisions in your life. Do you know what? He's concerned about you. Let not your heart be troubled. Listen, today He's concerned about everything that you do. You may have come in and you say, you know what? Nobody cares about me. I'm telling you, they are people that care about you. Hey, your mother, your daddy, your grandmother, your grandfather, whoever's made a commitment to put you here to Christian school, you know what? They care about you this morning. You know what? Many of them make sacrifices that you can't even understand right now because to put you here because you know what? Hey, they've been your age before. And often said this, hey, you hadn't been our age yet, but you know what? We've been your age, and we know there's battles out there, and we know how the devil is, and you know what? We try to shelter and protect our children. I believe that's what we should do. But you know what? They make sacrifices to put you in a Christian school. And you know what? It's because they love you. You may think, you know what, nobody really cares if I'm hurting or not. Let me tell you what, there are people that care. But our Savior cares. Hey, that hurting that you feel, you know what, and I know how it feels to be hurt. Hey, I know how it feels to be talked about. I know how it feels to feel like your heart's just been ripped out. I know how it feels when people talk about you and run you down. I know how it feels when people run your church down. I know how people feel when you run your family down. You know what, they talk about you. I mean, just make you feel so small sometimes. And man, it just feels like I just can't hardly go. But you know what? The Lord helps me, and He gives me strength. You know why? Because He's concerned about me. Listen, I don't care what you're going through this morning. Listen, He's concerned about your situation. He's concerned about it. No matter what you think, He's concerned. The devil tell you nobody loves you. Hey, the devil tell you, you know what, that you're in this situation, you're going to stay in this situation. He'll tell you, He'll lie to you in a heartbeat. But I want to tell you, no matter where you are, doesn't matter if you're at church or at home or on the side of the road, at a ball field or wherever, you know what, you can just cry out to a holy God. Well, that's good this morning. Listen, He's concerned. Here we see that He was concerned about His disciples. He was concerned about them. He said, I care for you. Listen, I'm going away. It leads me to my second point, but also I see compassion here in these scriptures. In verse number 2, the Bible says here, let me go back to verse 1, says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Listen, I see compassion here. The Bible says here, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And let me say this, the place that He's talking about that we know is heaven. And let me say this, that place is a much better place. A much better place. Much better place than what we have here on this earth. And He's gone to prepare a place for you. Not only is He concerned about you this morning, but listen, He'll be compassionate to you. He'll be compassionate to you. No matter what your situation is. Listen, compassion, I believe, and my definition of compassion is going above and beyond what is expected. Listen, to go above and beyond what is expected. Now think about this. Some of us will make we'll make some commitments, and you know what we'll do. But I'm talking about going above and beyond. And I love sports, and y'all know how I love sports, but maybe give this as an illustration. I know a lot of you do, but you know what? If we're going out here and we're going to play basketball, and if we're never going to practice, if we're not going to practice, and all of a sudden we're just going to show up and put our jersey on for the game, you know what? We're probably not going to do very well. We may get lucky and score a point or two. It takes practice. But you know what? When we commit ourselves and we practice and we practice and we practice and we practice and we practice, and you know what? It's going to be easier for us to be a better basketball player. Let me say this, in life, when we practice the walk and we practice and we practice and we walk the way we should walk and we talk the way we should talk, you know what, and we do the things of God. I mean, we truly serve Him and we surrender our life to Him. You know what I mean? Truly, truly surrender our life to Him. Every day, not just some days, not just when we feel good, not just when things are great. You know what I'm talking about? Every day. If we would just continue, you know what? We'll be a better Christian. We would. And you know what? The compassion that I felt from my Savior the last 12 and a half years, I can't explain it to you. And I wish I could just hand it to you, but I can't. It doesn't work like that. You see, you have to make that decision in your life to trust Him as Lord and Savior. I can't do it for you. It's not my prayer, and I could help. I could pray. I do pray for you every day. I pray for each one of you. But you know what? It's not my prayer that'll save you. It's yours. Maybe you're here this morning, you thought, nobody cares about me. Listen, He's concerned about you. Nobody ever shows compassion to me. Let me tell you what, our Savior will show you some compassion. Maybe it's just that, you know what, you don't recognize that compassion. Maybe it's that your life is such that, you know what, you don't recognize it because you're not where you need to be. But compassion, going above and beyond. And I think about going above and beyond. As we're getting back to, if you practice and you go above and beyond, and I love basketball and I've coached many of you, but you know what, when we go, and some of you go above and beyond what I expect. And you know what, practice is over, maybe you stay a little bit later just to shoot a little bit or just to practice your dribbling or do this and that. But you know what, you go above and beyond what's expected out of the coach. Those are the things that make you better. Let me say this, as a Christian though, listen, we need to go above and beyond. You know what, hey, our lifestyle, everybody's looking at us. You know what, there's people that's looking at you. especially you that have younger brothers and sisters. You know what? They're looking up to you. All of you older kids over here, guess what? These young kids over here, guess what? They're looking up to you. They're looking up to you. Listen, you need to go above and beyond. Above and beyond. I mean, go. Now think about that. Number one person that comes to mind is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Our Savior went above and beyond. As he willingly laid down his life at Calvary, and he was crucified that day. We know the story that he was buried, and that 3 days later he arose. But going above and beyond, and think about this, and don't have time, but over in Isaiah it talks about the beating that he took and the mocking and everything that he went through and the agony that he faced, but at any time could have called the angels to come and get him. Do you know what? Because of love, because of his concern and compassion for mankind, you know what? He hung there on the cross that day, willingly, in pain and in agony, but he surrendered his life. He died for the sins of mankind. You know what? He died for me, but he also died for you. Talking about going above and beyond, listen, that's compassion. That's compassion. A couple of stories in the Bible, Luke 15, we see that a father had compassion on his son. I love the story. The son thought that, as many of us do and have in the past, but this young son thought that, you know what, that he could live a life that was better than what his father was providing for him. We've heard the story there of, he said, give me my portion, and he said, I can do things better. I'm tired of living here. And you know what, some of you, I've heard some of you make that comment. I'm tired of living at home. My mom and daddy don't know what they're talking about. Let me say this. I used to think my mom and daddy was the stupidest people on the face of the earth. Is that a word, stupidest? But you know what? I thought, man, they are so stupid. They hate me. They don't let me do anything. I mean, I thought, good gracious, my goodness, they're crazy. But you know what? As I grew older, I began to realize, well, they wasn't as crazy as I thought they were, but they still were pretty crazy. But then I got out on my own and got out of college and got married and had a family of my own. And all of a sudden, you know what? I realized that my parents were probably the smartest people that I knew. And some of you, you know what, you probably think that same thing. My parents, they don't care about me, they don't love me. And I'm not saying they won't make mistakes. And listen, none of us are perfect and we will make mistakes. But I will say this, listen, this father here, his son said, I can do things better. He went off, his father gave him his portion, he went off. And the Bible says that when he had spent all, that he found himself in the hog pen. Walling around in a hog pen, one of the filthiest places that you could ever be. And eating with the hogs. You know what? He thought his way was better, and he thought, you know what? I can do things better. But long story short, he came back. The Bible says he came to his senses. He came to his senses. You know what? Some of that foolish talk, and the devil tell you that, you know what? You're better off to run away and do this or that, or you know what? That's the devil telling you a lie. You need to come to your senses this morning if you're thinking that. But he came to his senses. He came home. The Bible says that the Father saw him afar off, and he ran, and he had compassion. And he killed the fat calf, and boy, and he said, bring out the best that we've got. We're going to have a feast. My son that was lost is now home. And you know what? Hey, listen, that's compassion this morning. I think also about Luke 7, chapter 7, Jesus had compassion. And we see that this widow, her son, was dead, and she came to him in faith, and she said, oh, Lord. And we see there that he had compassion and raised her child from the dead. And we see compassion all throughout the Scriptures. But you know what? The greatest compassion that I've ever felt, the greatest, and I know that there's a lot of people that love me, and I'm so thankful, and I am blessed. I'm not bragging by any means at all, but I'm just saying, I've said that, I've been loved my whole life. But listen, there's nothing like the love and that feeling that you get from the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, not only does he have a concern for you, he'll show compassion for you also. But not only that, verse number three, listen, I see a commitment. Verse number three, the Bible says, and if I go, to look at the last part of verse number two, it says, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse three says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I see that he's made a commitment. That, you know, not only is he concerned about us and he shows compassion, but he's made a commitment. He's going to prepare a place in heaven, as I mentioned, for each one, not for everybody now. Let me be very clear. Everybody's not a child of God. Only those who have trusted and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and made that profession as a child of God. And he's going to prepare a place for his children. But he said, and just as sure as I'm going to prepare a place, I'm going to come back and receive you. And listen, I tell you what, times in my life where things isn't going well, and there's been several of those, the 12 and a half years that I've been saved, and I thought that once I got saved, you know what, everything's just going to be great, and I'll never have any more problems. That's not the way it works. We're still going to fight our flesh. We're still going to go through trials and tribulations. But listen, he's made a commitment that he's coming back for us. One day, listen, he's coming back. One day he's coming back for us. He's made that commitment. 1 Thessalonians talks about his return in the moment, the twinkling of an eye. And over in Corinthians said that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. Listen, there's a time death may come knocking. He's made me a commitment. He's coming back for me. But you know what? Death may come before he comes back for the church. But you know what? If death comes knocking my way, guess what? Because of I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm secure, and I'll be with my Lord and Savior forever and ever. But I see a commitment. Listen, in our lives today, you know what? He made his disciples that commitment there, but you know what? He made us that commitment. We have the Word of God today to read and to live by, and he's made you some commitments today too. Hey, he's coming back for his children. And you know what? Just as sure as he's coming back, and he is coming back whether you believe it or not, but I think about his commitment that he made to us, and it makes me think of some commitments that we should make to him. You know what? There's some commitments that we should make. Hey, he gave his life for us, and you know what? If we're saved in here this morning, listen, you know what? We're going to heaven. Hey, he secured us from a place called hell, sure, but you know what? He's made us that great commitment in our lives. We need to make some commitments in our life for him and to him. Number one, you know what? I think we need to commit to read our Bibles. Listen, you need to make a commitment that I'm not talking about just at school and every day you open up your word, your Bible, and you know what? You'll read from it every day. I'm not talking about just at school. I'm talking about in your own personal time. You know what? When you're in front of the TV, watching TV or playing games or off, I'm talking about finding a time to get along where, you know what? That you can just read the Word of God. You know what? You should make him some commitments. Hey, you need to pray about a time that, you know what? That he'll let you set aside, you know what? To read your Bible. You know what? We need to make a commitment. You know what? We're going to go to church. Listen, I love each one of you, and there's a lot of you that go to different churches, and a lot of you come here, and you know what? And you need to go to your church. If you're a member of another church, you need to go to your church. That's where you're a member. That's where you should be. Hey, if you don't have a home church and you don't go to church, we would love to have you to come visit with us. But you know what? You need to make a commitment that you're going to serve your Lord in service. Hey, I love Sunday school. Hey, I love Wednesday night. I love Sunday night. I love Sunday morning. I do. I love it. I love going to church. I love serving. Some of you need to make a commitment this morning that, you know what? If God calls you into something, that you're going to do it. You know what? Some of you may grow up to be a preacher's wife. Some of you may be a Sunday school teacher. Some of you have a beautiful voice, but you know what? Maybe you're just a little nervous and God wants you to just use that voice for his honor, for his glory. Some of you may grow up to be the greatest soul winner that there ever was. You know what? Some of you may grow up to accomplish things that you never thought. I never thought coming through high school and growing up my life that I'll be where I am today. Never thought it. Never thought I'd be here, and I'm glad I am. Wouldn't trade anything for it. But we need to make some commitments. You know what, young ladies and young men, you need to make some commitments that you're going to stay pure. You know what? That you're going to stay pure. That you're not going to give yourself up to the flesh. And that one day you can stand at an altar and you can make your vows, and you know what? You can truly give your life to each other. You know what? You need to make some commitments today that, you know what? I'm not going to be tempted by alcohol or drugs or cigarettes or anything else. You need to make some commitments today. Let me say this. You need to make those decisions today. Because you know what? When you put yourself in that position, in that situation, you know what? A lot of you won't be able to resist the temptation, no matter what it is. But you know what, man, if we cry out to him today and we say, oh, God, I want to serve you. Oh, Lord, I love you. And I want to serve you. And I want to do what you'd have me to do. And I want my life to be pleasing to you. I mean, if we cry out in this altar and say, God, my life is yours. And I want to do exactly what you have me to do. Make those commitments today. You know what? When that temptation does come around, you know what? You'll be in a better position to resist it. I know what it's like. Hey, I'm tempted even today. You know what? Just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean anything. I'm tempted just like y'all are. The devil would love for me to fall just like he would love for y'all to fall. He would love for my flesh to take over just like he would love for your flesh to take over. But you know what? I made some commitments in my life. And that doesn't mean that I'll always keep them, and I hope and I pray to God that I do. But I've made some commitments to my Lord. And this morning, some of you need to make those commitments. Hey, don't wait till you're alone with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Your flesh is going to be too desirable for you. Don't wait until you're at a party somewhere and people's drinking. You know what? That flesh may be too desirable for you. Whatever your case is, you need to make some decisions today. Make some commitments. Our Savior, Lord and Savior, made a commitment to us. You know what? We need to make some to Him. And listen, I'll say this. You need to make a commitment today that you're going to hang out with godly people. Let me tell you, some of you's problem, and I know I've been there again. I've been your age. A lot of your problems that you face today, a lot of the things that you go through, a lot of the reasons that you know what, your flesh is more dominant than your spirit in your life, is because of the crowd that you hang out with. Listen, if I could go back, I've went back, some of my dearest friends in school that I hung out with. You know what? I love them today. And you know what? When I see them, I'll go talk to them and witness to them, and some of them has gotten saved, some of them go to church with me. But you know what? Listen, I don't hang out with them. I don't go socialize with them, don't hang out with them, don't go to eat with them. Bible says to be ye separate. You know what? Listen, y'all know the story, probably most of you, some of you don't, the new ones, but my wife and I, and we were fortunate, and I thank the Lord that we're where we are, but the Bible says not to be unequally yoked, and my wife was saved and out of God's will, and I was not saved, and we got married, and that's not the way it's supposed to work. Let me say that, okay? Just because it worked for us doesn't mean it's going to work for you, all right? But she thought she would get me in church. And from 3 days old, she was in church her whole life, and her family had a little singing group, and they sang. But, I mean, she was always in church. And she thought, well, I'll get him in church. Well, guess what happened? I got her out of church. You see, that flesh, our flesh, desires. And she was more scared of saying something or saying something to run me off or discourage me that, you know what? She didn't say anything to me at all for those first few years. About anything at all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she'll tell you today that she was ashamed of that. And she did, and she apologized, and she asked me to forgive her for that, and I have. But you know what? For our flesh desires. You may think, well, I hang around with this group because you know what? Hey, they need witnessing to. They do need witnessing to. That don't mean you hang out with them. That doesn't mean you spend the night with them, you go out and eat with them, that you're seen with them all over the place. Hey, you know what? You can witness to them on the phone or any other way. To their house. You know what? Hey, you want me? You know, you got somebody that you really need, that they need witnessing to? Hey, you come get me. Me and you'll go witness to them. I'm talking about who we socialize with every day. Listen, I have some dear friends, and I do love them. And you know what? I enjoyed hanging out with them, but you know what? I have a new desire in me today. And you should too if you know the Lord as your Savior. But talking about commitments, listen, we need to make some commitments this morning. Then number four, listen, I see a command. Verse number 6 here says, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, he's made a command here, made us a promise. You know what? There's no way to heaven. Let me say this. There's others teaching different ways, and I'm not here to bash anybody. I'm not, but I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. The only way to heaven is through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it doesn't matter who your mom and daddy is, if they're preachers or your granddaddy was a preacher, if you've been in church your whole life, that has nothing to do with it, with your salvation. It doesn't matter how much money you give to the church, that has nothing to do with your salvation. It does not matter how good of a person you are. It does not matter how much you labor, how much you work. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, Lord, according to His mercies, He saved us. It's not by works. It's not by our works. No matter what you think, I was one of those my whole life. I believed in. There's a God. I did. Just through creation and looking around, and I thought, man, there's got to be something else. There's got to be. I believed in God. I did, but I did not know His Son Jesus Christ. And I remember through my teenage years thinking that, well, if something, my grandfather died when I was 16, and at the time, I grew up at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, and that's where my family went, and my grandfather, a lot of my family's buried there, but I remember at his funeral there, and I don't know who the preacher was, but I remember the preacher talking about heaven and about hell, and I don't remember a whole lot more, but I remember from when I was 16 till I got saved, often I thought, well, I sure hope that I go to heaven. Maybe my good outweigh my bad, and I just try to be a person, but that's not the way it works. Listen, the only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. He did not say that I am a way. Some teach that he's a way, but there's other ways. There's not. There's only one way, and that's through your faith in him. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us, by faith, of grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, not of works, not about our works, lest any man should boast. Listen to this, our faith, placing our faith. You know what faith is? You know what faith is? Enemy, come on to the piano. You know what faith is? Faith is believing in something that you can't see. That's my definition of faith, is believing in something that you can't see. Now, having faith, everybody looking at me, we're about done here. We're fixing to give an invitation. We're talking about having faith, believing in something you can't see. I can't see God, but I do see his creation, and I do feel his presence in my life. But having faith, I mean, in Hebrews 11 there, talks about faith. I've been dealing with faith in Sunday school for about the last 6 months, and talking about faith. Trusting somebody. You know what? Some of you in here, and the Lord showed me this morning, some of you in here has been hurt so bad in your life that you know what? You put up boundaries and walls around you because you don't trust anybody. And I know how that feels too. To be betrayed by some that love you and is close to you and family and different. I know how that feels. But you know what? Some of you this morning, it's just a trust issue in your life because you know what? You've been hurt before. And you put up boundaries and walls. And you know what? Although people are good to you and you want to trust somebody, you just can't trust them because you've been hurt. Going back to, hey, that concern, the Lord's concerned about that hurting that you're feeling this morning. I promise you this, if you give it to him, he'll take it from you. He'll take it from you. But having faith, listen, that's trusting. By faith, and by the grace of God, by faith. The Bible says if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, thou shalt be saved. Some of you this morning, you know what? Hey, you need to be saved. Maybe you're here and never trusted Christ as Savior, and this morning the Lord's pricked your heart, and you know what? There's a tugging in your life, in your heart, and you know that there's something missing, and you know what? If you were to die right now, you wouldn't go to heaven, but to a place called hell. You know what? You know that in your life. You know that. You know what? It'd be a good time in just a few months to come down to this altar. It'd be a good moment right now just to come. But maybe you come in here, hey, you're saved, but you know what? You're just not serving him the way that you should serve him. You know what? You ought to come down and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Help me, Lord, to make some commitments in my life that I can serve you the way you'd be pleased. And some of you may be doing exactly what the Lord wants in your life, right? I mean, you're serving him. Hey, you're sold out serving him. I mean, just doing exactly what he wants in your life. You know what? You ought to just come thank him if that's the case. Maybe you just come in this morning, drug yourself in. Just drug yourself. Maybe you've just been dragging yourself around for days, for weeks, maybe even for years. You seem like you just drag yourself around. Couldn't care less whether you live or die. Couldn't care less. Just hurting for whatever reason. Listen, this morning there's help. There's help for you. Let's all stand together. As Emily played, listen, these altars are open. Hey, you need to come down and pray. Listen, many of you do, and that's fine. Listen, you need to come take me by the hand. Maybe you just got some questions this morning. You know what? You just come as we play. You need to come. You come this morning. You that's hurting, that you that's bitter over something that's happened in your life, that's you this morning, that you that has has no desire to serve God anymore, hey, if that's you this morning, if you come down, just, God, I need you.